Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 20th day of April, 2023. I am thrilled to have back on the program one of my very favorite guests to interview. He's also become a dear friend over the years, and his name should not be a stranger to the vast majority of my listening audience. His name is Justin Peters, evangelist, conference speaker, and founder of Justin Peters Ministries. Today we're going to be addressing the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be discussing how and why many charismatics and Pentecostals get the doctrine of the Holy Spirit all wrong, or at least wrong in many ways. And it's not only isolated to charismatics and Pentecostals, but even among cessationist evangelicals who misunderstand this very important person of the Godhead and doctrine. We're also going to be discussing two upcoming events where Justin Peters will be speaking. The Grace Life Church Conference in Annville, Pennsylvania, and also the 2023 G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I intend to be at both of those events, and I will certainly be in the Atlanta area this fall for the G3 Conference, where I always man an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Justin Peters.
Chris, it's an honor to be with you, brother. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Oh, it's a thrill to have you back on. And let me right away give our listeners our email address. If you have any questions for Justin Peters, you can ask him a wide variety of questions on theology and things relevant to the scriptures, things about his personal testimony and ministry. But we're going to be focusing on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, so we would hope that many, if not most, of those questions involve that very important topic. First of all, Justin, before we get into the discussion on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, why don't you tell our listeners, for the rare number of people listening that may be unfamiliar with your ministry on this program, tell our listeners about Justin Peters Ministries.
Sure, Chris. My name is Justin Peters, and my ministry is very uncreatively named, Justin Peters Ministries. And I'm a full-time evangelist. God has graciously opened up this ministry to me. My first love and commitment is to expositional preaching, preaching God's word verse by verse. But what I'm most well known for is engaging the Word of Faith movement and New Apostolic Reformation. So these are twin movements that are kind of better known, broadly speaking, as the health and wealth gospel, the name and claim it gospel, the prosperity gospel, the doctrine that says it is always God's will for a Christian to be wealthy. It's always God's will for a Christian to be physically healed. You should never be sick, or if you do get sick, then physical healing is guaranteed as long as you have enough faith, as long as you make the right positive confessions, as long as you sow enough seed into some minister's ministry, which, in other words, give him money, him or her money, and in return, God will grant you a harvest. And so some of the more well-known names of this movement, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, Joel Osteen, you know, some of those names are some of the more well-known, Joyce Meyer as well. And so it's a heretical movement. It's got heretical theology. It's not just health and wealth, but it is indeed a different gospel, a very different view of God, a different view of Christ and the atonement that that results in an overemphasis on health and wealth and making promises that the Bible simply does not make. So that's kind of what I'm known for, but that's not my only interest. I teach on Roman Catholicism and various issues, and have written a book, working on another one. So, and I have a YouTube channel. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Yes, just to throw in a couple more of the shocking, blasphemous heresies of the Word of Faith movement. Not that everybody who identifies with the Word of Faith movement believes in these things, but they are prominent in that movement. One is that Jesus Christ actually became, according to them, a demonic entity while hanging on the cross on Calvary.
Yep.
And that he became the first born-again man in hell after being tortured by Satan and the demons.
Yep.
So utterly shocking, obviously not only blasphemous, but a total misunderstanding and a false concept of what hell is. It seems to be borrowing from Dante's Inferno, where Satan and the demons are ruling in hell, and they are there torturing Jesus, when in reality, hell was created as a torture chamber for the devil and his angels, and obviously,
right.
The reprobate, those who never come to Christ while they are living on this earth, they will be cast in there in that torture chamber for eternity with the devil and his angels, but it's primarily was created for them, the devil and his angels, and yet the Word of Faith movement seems to have Satan and his demons ruling there.
Yes.
I don't think I need to say
that's right.
I don't think I need to say any more about that, but I think I've shocked many of our listeners enough who didn't know that. Well, please tell us about your book, the new book that's coming out.
Yeah, Chris. So my seminar on the Word of Faith movement is entitled Clouds Without Water. And I take that from a reference in the book of Jude, verse 12. That's one of the ways that Jude describes false teachers, is as clouds without water. And so that's the title of my seminar. And this book basically is the book version of my seminar, Clouds Without Water. So I am working on that. I've actually already got a kind of a condensed version of it that's published and out already in other languages, though. It's not in English yet, but it's a short book by design, so we could print as many as possible and get out into some of these countries, distribute them as widely as possible. It's already out in Russian, I believe Ukrainian, and Chinese. So it's not yet available in English, but Lord willing, my English version will be longer. So I'm going to take this shorter version, put more meat on the bone, so to speak, and that will be the English version of Clouds Without Water. That, best I can tell, either later this year or first part of next year will be out.
Well, I'm excited about that. That was the theme of your address to the pastors gathered at my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon. What was it, like 3 years ago, perhaps?
I think that's about right. Was it pre-COVID? I believe it was.
Yes, it was pre-COVID. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it had to be at least three, maybe going on 4 years ago.
Yeah, but I remember how riveted the men were to your presentation. And even heard very positive feedback from charismatic pastors in attendance who were obviously not in the Word of Faith movement extreme, but they were men that even recognized as charismatics that these things are wicked teachings that the Word of Faith movement capitalizes on. And if anybody wants to keep updated on that book and also about where Justin Peters will be speaking and everything else you need to know about Justin Peters, go to justinpeters.org. Justinpeters.org. One of those events where he is speaking is something that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, briefly. He is speaking at Grace Life Church in Annville, Pennsylvania. And that's going to be April 20th through the 30th. It's a free event. And tell us about this exciting event.
Yeah, Chris, I'm looking forward to that. You gave the name of the church and location there. This is a church that has Dave Cunningham as its pastor. It's a church that's led by a biblical plurality of elders, which yes. The Bible prescribes and describes. And but Dave Cunningham's kind of like the primary preaching pastor.
Yes, he was at was at my pastor's luncheon last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Along with Flip Michaels as well.
Yeah, Flip Michaels. He's another one of the elders there. Great, great guy. He's written a book too, Five Half Truths, that I had the pleasure of endorsing for him.
Yes, but, I interviewed him on that, and several years ago, the publisher gave us 100 copies to give away at the pastor's luncheon.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It's a great little book, great little book. So, yeah, it's a great church. I've been there before, really enjoyed my time there with them. I've been there twice before, and just really good brothers. And so if you're in the area or are up for a road trip, yeah, we would love to have you join us. I think it'll be a profitable time. I am going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, what he doesn't do. And also I'm going to have another session on how God does and does not speak to us today. So in other words, how to know the voice of God. And so those two sessions are, you know, they're different, but they're very much related.
Yeah. In fact, that is one of the areas, that I have become familiar with. Cessationist pastors, even on occasion, will get that area wrong, even though they're cessationists. Sometimes they will speak either before, during, or after a sermon. They will speak as if they are operating or functioning as charismatics, believing in new revelation from God, even though they would likely deny that, but they are. Some of these men who are not even in the charismatic or Pentecostal camp will speak that way, and I'm sure that's going to be refuted in your session on that, even the non-charismatic version of that.
Correct. Correct, Chris. And it's one of those things I think sometimes we're just careless in our lingo, careless in the terminology we use when we say things like, the Lord told me so-and-so. And you're right. I've heard that even from cessationists. But it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to be more careful with the words that you're using, because what you're implying there, you've entered some very, very deep waters. So we need to be careful. You know, if you say the Lord spoke to me, then you need to have chapter and verse for that, because God speaks through and only through the scriptures today, not in still small voices or hunches or feelings or anything like that. That's kind of a whole theology that, quite honestly, we've just created out of whole cloth, but simply is not supported in scripture. So, now some people, a lot of people actually do mean exactly what they say. They do believe God speaks to them in a direct quotable sense outside of scripture. So they absolutely do mean that. But, those of us in the cessationist camp, I think sometimes they just get a little too careless with the terminology that they use.
And some of this stuff comes out of nothing more or less than pride. And I'll give you an example of how I mean that. There will be sometimes, even with cessationists, a false humility over a sermon they preached, a book they wrote, a song they wrote. And they will say, when someone gives them a compliment, a word of praise for what they've accomplished in this sermon, book, or song, or other thing, they will say, oh, no, don't thank me. This was all of God. Every word is all of God. Don't thank me at all. I'm just the vessel here. And no, I'm sorry, pal. You're exalting what you did, whether it be a sermon, book, or song. You're exalting it to the level of Scripture. So knock it off with your false humility.
That's right. That's right. I agree, Chris. I'm glad you said that. And one example when you are describing that that pops into my mind is Beth Moore, because she wrote in her book, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was When Godly People Do Ungodly Things. I think that was a particular book that she wrote this, but she said, and if this isn't a direct quote, again, I don't have it in front of me, but it's really, really close. She said, I did not write these words by simple preference. I wrote them because had I not, the rocks in my yard would have cried out. She actually said that. Yeah. And, she said, I am simply the one who, received this bug-eyed. I remember that. She said, I sat there bug-eyed as she received this revelation from God. And so, yeah, what an audacious claim. I mean, just, you know, you absolutely false humility. That should be the quintessential example of false humility. Yeah.
Yes. And, also when you were just describing that, I had another person pop into my head, and it's very ironic, because most, King James only fundamentalists despise charismatic teaching in Pentecostalism. And yet a segment, not all, I have to be careful, there are many King James-only fundamentalists who do not at all associate or support the writing and teaching of Gail Ripplinger. But Gail Ripplinger, she initially had as the author of her books on the cover G.A. Ripplinger, which in her description was the abbreviation for God and Ripplinger. So,
oh wow.
So very, very, very strange indeed.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, indeed. Well, yeah, and there's just no fear, Chris, seemingly nowadays in the vast majority of the evangelical world. Sadly, there seems to be no fear of putting words in God's mouth that he did not say. Man, people just take that so tritely, you know, to put words in God's mouth that he did not say. But that's something that God holds very seriously. He takes very seriously. Psalm 138, verse 2, God said, I hold my name and my word above all things. So, boy, it is a man, you're treading on some mighty thin ice when you start putting words in God's mouth that he did not say.
And this conference that I mentioned first at Grace Life Church of Annville, Pennsylvania, once again, it's held April 28th through the 30th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Friday and Saturday, the church is providing a free lunch as well. And if you want more details, go to Justin Peters' website, justinpeters.org, and click on events. And if you would like, you can also go to the Grace Life Church of Annville, Pennsylvania's website, gracelifepa.org, gracelifepa.org. And hopefully I will remember to announce that toward the end of the program. Now, the other conference that I mentioned, I'm always so excited to attend this conference. It's the G3 conference to be held in Atlanta, Georgia, the G3 National Conference, from Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, September 23rd, on the sovereignty of God. And you are one of many speakers. The roster at these conferences is always mind-blowing, and here's just some of them. Vody Baucom, Steve Lawson, Paul Washer, Phil Johnson, James White, Mike Riccardi, Ken Ham, Owen Strand, Josh Bice, James Coates, who is the pastor in Canada that was arrested for refusing to shut down his worship services during the COVID crisis, Scott Annual, Virgil Walker, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Scott Brown, and a speaker for the ladies, Susan Heck, and of course, my guest today, Justin Peters. Are you aware yet? I know that many times when I interview speakers at the G3 conference, they don't know what they're speaking on until very close to the date of the event. So I don't know if that's the case with you, or I know that the conference is on the sovereignty of God, as I've already mentioned. But is there a specific theme under that umbrella
that you are speaking on? I do not yet know, Chris.
Okay.
I don't know. I sure don't. In fact, I want to call them and talk to the guys and ask them if they have any idea yet. I have some ideas rolling around in my head, things that I would like to do. But, yeah, as of today, I do not know.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be profound when coming through you as a vessel of God, no matter what the topic is. I'm sure Josh Bice will come up with just the perfect sermon for you. And I always love hearing Josh Bice, too. He is not as globally known as some of these figures on the roster, but he is an extremely powerful and gifted preacher. I always love hearing him preach.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to register for this, do yourself a favor and do me a favor. Go to g3min.org, g3min.org. Click on events and scroll down to the sovereignty of God. And if you're registering, enter the promo code for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, which will give you a 30% discount. This will help you and me because the more people who register using my promo code discount, the more likely the G3 Ministries will continue to advertise with me every year. So use the promo code G3ISIR, which stands for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. G3ISIR, and you'll get 30% off the registration fee. So I will be repeating that later. In fact, you'll be hearing ads voiced by my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries during this program, and he is, as I said, one of the speakers there as well. Well, let's, before we go to our break, get a definition of who is the Holy Spirit. What must be believed by a faithful Christian about the identity of the third person of the Godhead of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit?
Well, first and foremost, as Christians, we must and do believe that he is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead. He is as much and as fully God as is God the Father, as it is God the Son. He is the third co-equal person of the triune Godhead. We see the Holy Spirit. He was present and active at the act of creation itself. We see that in Genesis chapter 1. We see that in Psalm 33 and other places as well. And one of the clearest texts in the New Testament that describe the Holy Spirit as God is Acts chapter 5. It's kind of one of the most concise ones there. This is when Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of their property, and they said they were going to give the money to the church and benefit the believers there and the gospel efforts. But they held some of the price of their sale back for themselves. And Peter knew of this. And so Peter, this is Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, Peter went to Ananias and he said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And then concluded in verse 4, I don't have it from me, but I believe it's verse 4, he says, "You have not lied to men, but to God." So you see the connection there. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. So a very clear, a statement of the deity of the Holy Spirit. So that is first and foremost what we must believe about him, is that he is God, very God.
Amen. And that's a good place for us to go to our first commercial break. If anybody would like to ask your own question of Justin Peters on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit or on any other theological area, but we do prefer as many questions as possible being focused on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your pastors or your denomination over something involving our discussion today, and you don't want to identify yourself. You might even be the pastor, and you disagree with your fellow elders or your denomination over something that we say today. Whatever the case is, we understand things like that would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back with Justin Peters after these messages, so don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Scott Brown here with Church and Family Life. I hope you can join me and Chris Arnzen at my national conference, The Chief End of Man. It's in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, right next to Asheville. At this event, you'll hear Paul Washer, Joel Beakey, Scott Aniol, Josh Bice, and many others, really my favorite preachers. We're offering a special discount to listeners of this show. And all you need to do is enter the code IRON. during checkout and you'll receive a 50% discount off the registration fee. We're also doing a pre-conference with Paul Washer and Jeff Johnson geared toward singles on May 3rd and 4th. For more information, go to churchandfamilylife.com. Don't forget the code IRON during checkout. I really hope to see you there.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry, whether jewelry that's in stock at RoyalDiadem.com already, or jewelry that you have custom designed and created by their master jewelry designers at RoyalDiadem.com. Whichever the case may be, any purchase valued at $100 or more will result in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio getting 100% of the profits as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. This is a limited time offer that they are making to us very generously. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer. So I'm asking you, please, I'm urging you, if you have any desire to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it's jewelry that they already have in stock or a custom designed piece of jewelry, please go to royaldiadem.com soon and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to ensure that the offer will still be available to us, where we will get 100% of the profits here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So do yourself a favor and do us a favor at the same time. Go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Justin Peters, our guest today. The founder of Justin Peters Ministries. We are discussing the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. You've already established the biblical truth before the commercial break that the Holy Spirit is God. And that would imply that the common false notion of individuals, even some that profess to be Christians, even some within evangelical churches and denominations, they may not say this in a creedal sense or in a doctrinal sense, but they very often speak of the Holy Spirit as if it is the power of God and a force of God and not a person of the Godhead. Am I right? Isn't that something that you have encountered commonly, and isn't that dead wrong?
Yes, Chris, that is correct, and that is dead wrong. In fact, one of the notable examples, well, I mean, this is common in the charismatic movement, but Benny Hinn, for example, how he slays people in the spirit and he gets his jacket and waves his jacket at people and yells fire at them. And he pretends to wield the Holy Spirit around like a lightsaber almost. I mean, he uses it to slay people and quote unquote, slay them in the spirit. And he's, when you think about what he's supposedly doing, literally throwing ostensibly the Holy Spirit of God at people. Yeah. That reduces him to a thing. That reduces the Holy Spirit to a thing, to a force, you know, it's such a belittling and demeaning of the Holy Spirit, but he is a person. You can't wield him at will. In fact, he himself has will. And that's, I'd like to deal with that a little bit. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. He's not a third of God. He is fully God and he is a person. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. We see this in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You can't grieve a force. You can't grieve an inanimate object. You can't grieve a non-sentient being. But the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Why? Because he's a person. The Holy Spirit has intellect. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Again, Paul writing, but to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the depths of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the depths of God no one knows except the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So he has intellect. He knows things. In fact, he knows all things. He's omniscient. He has a will, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So he has volition. He has will. Of course, that verse is talking about the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit speaking here very clearly, I might add. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Notice the clarity. Notice the crystal clear clarity with which the Holy Spirit speaks. In stark contrast to what you hear today from the vast majority of the evangelical world when they say some things like, well, I think the Lord might be trying to tell us, said no one in the Bible ever. You don't see that kind of language anywhere.
Yeah, like what was commonly, and I'm assuming still is commonly seen on the 700 Club, where you would have Pat Robertson or another host kind of getting the signal of the Holy Spirit jammed up by maybe competing radio and TV signals. Because you'd have Pat Robertson saying, there's a listener, I think he has a lump on either his left or right lung. I believe this is a cancerous tumor. You know, I mean, what are you talking about? If this is the Holy Spirit, there's no fuzziness. I mean, when has a prophet of God in the Bible ever spoken with such fuzziness and uncertainty?
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right, Chris. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit is not unclear when he speaks. In Scripture, when God speaks, he speaks with crystal clear clarity. There's no ambiguity. There's nobody. You know, can you imagine Moses saying, well, you know, I think the Lord was trying to tell me such and such, or Abraham, you know, when God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son Isaac, can you imagine that conversation with Sarah before they left, if he was anything but unclear? It's, like, Sarah, I know this is going to sound weird, but I really think God is telling me to take Isaac up to this mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. I can't be sure, but I think he is. So, you know, I'm going to go with my feelings here. You know, No.
Or even painting the blood of the sacrificed lamb on the doorposts when that Passover day came. And the firstborn son in the home would have been killed if they didn't do that. And you're telling your family, I think I've got to go outside and maybe paint some blood on here. I'm not really 100% sure about
that. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Exactly, Chris. You know, or Noah telling his family, you know, guys, I know this is going to sound crazy, and I can't be 100% sure, but I think God wants us to build a big ark, you know, 500 feet long, 50-something feet high, you know, and I think he's going to flood the entire earth. And I think so they start building this ark for, you know, about 120 years, probably. Can you imagine at any point Noah being anything but unclear about what God told him to do? You know, imagine like 60 years into this project, you know, the ark's half built. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I heard God wrong.
Some of the other things that we must get right about the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure you would agree, is that the Holy Spirit is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son. And that does not mean that everything that the Father and the Son accomplished in heaven and on this earth, that everything the Father and the Son did, the Holy Spirit did as well. It does not mean that, obviously, because, for example, only Jesus Christ died on the cross for the propitiation of the sins of his people. The Father didn't do that. The Spirit didn't do that. But they were all in complete harmony in their agreement of an orchestration of that event.
That's right. That's right, Chris. That's right. God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. And yet they are co-equal persons within the one Godhead. But you're exactly right. They do have different roles, different functions, but they have a unity of will, unity of mind. And so, you know, our finite minds, our fallen finite minds can't fully comprehend that. And yet that is what Scripture teaches. So he is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. In fact, read through the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, John chapter 16. Jesus speaks a lot of the Holy Spirit there. And he refers to him, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a he. Not as an it. John 14, verse 16 through 17, he says, Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. Doesn't say it. It says him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. John 16, 13 through 14, Jesus speaking again, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So over and over and over, Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit as a he, not an it. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is as much a person as is Jesus, as is the Father.
Well, we have an anonymous listener for you, and the anonymous listener says, I'm remaining anonymous because I have never been satisfied by the answers from my own elders in the church where I'm a member. In regard to this question that I am sure you have heard a million times already. The question is, what exactly is meant by the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, as stated by Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 through 32, and Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 29, where Jesus said, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, men, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Very heavy words there. And there have been men who agree on the vast majority of theology and doctrine and practice who have disagreed over exactly what this means. But if you could give your opinion or understanding of this.
Sure, Chris. Yeah, there is a range of opinions on exactly what Jesus meant here. But broadly speaking, I believe that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is ascribing to the Holy Spirit actual works of Satan, and that is what the Pharisees were doing. That is the height of rejection of God, and Jesus said that sin will not be forgiven. And in other words, basically what it boils down to is that a Christian will not and cannot do such a thing. Anyone who would do that is clearly not one of God's sheep, not even a lost sheep who has not yet been called to the shepherd, per John chapter 10, verse 27. So, that is not something that a Christian can commit. And I tell people, I've had a few people over the years ask me, they've said things, variations of, well, Justin, I'm afraid I may have committed this sin. And my first word to them, if you're even afraid that you've committed this sin, then you haven't. Because if you had, you wouldn't even be worried about it. So the very fact that you're concerned is self-evident proof that you haven't done that.
Now, I have heard, perhaps it's not something that I have frequently heard, but I have definitely heard in the past, especially, the charge of guilt for this sin against cessationists hurled at us by some charismatics and Pentecostals when we would dare question the authenticity of one of their prophecies, one of their divine utterances, so-called, one of their alleged healings, anything that they claim came directly from the Holy Spirit. When we say, well, I don't believe that that actually did come from the Holy Spirit. Ah, you're committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you could respond to that when we return from the midway break, because we're going into the midway break now. Please be patient with us, folks. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information, much of the contact information as possible, provided by as many of our advertisers as possible, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. We hope that often means that you purchase their products, use their services, support their parachurch organizations, and visit their churches. But when you can't do those things, please do one thing that every listener of this program can do if you love this show. Thank our advertisers for sponsoring this program. We cannot exist without the financial support of our advertisers. So thank them, and also send in your questions to Justin Peters, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and also extending forward to our modern day, including such current-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Justin Peters on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I have a couple of very important announcements to make. Please, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or if it's a special event that you're having, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgently need, of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, never cut into the money that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own local church where you're a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. In other words, never give your own church less money than you're accustomed to giving your church in order to bless us financially. Never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. Two things that are clear in the Bible about finances is that we're commanded to support our churches and support our families. Supporting my radio show is not, obviously, a command of God. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to go off the air, and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if indeed you love the show and want it to continue to exist. We have been hurt very badly financially ever since the ridiculous and unconstitutional mandates during the COVID crisis that it seems to have affected many of our listeners financially, because we have noticed a plummeting of giving, and it has never bounced back. So we need your help more than ever. Please go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid, Christ-honoring church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically sound churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if that is your situation, you do not have a biblically faithful church home, or you're a member, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Justin Peters, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. We do have several statements from someone. Actually, I forgot. I didn't finish where I was going before the commercial break. I will get back to this email I've received from Mike in Monroe, New York, in a moment. But let me just remind our listeners that we would like questions from our listeners about the topic that we are addressing, questions for my guest, Justin Peters, not teaching, not sending in an email that is teaching us, but I will nonetheless read this email from Mike in a moment. Continuing in the thread, I began before the break of saying that there have been, in my own personal life, acquaintances, possibly even friends, who were charismatic or Pentecostal, who have said on occasion that cessationists have been guilty of blaspheming the Holy Spirit if they question the authenticity of some kind of a miraculous sign that has been uttered by the charismatic or Pentecostal individual. Let's just say, for an example, a Pentecostal who claims to be getting some kind of a divine word, extra-biblical, a divine revelation, word of knowledge. He says to a person, "The Lord is telling me that you are going to get a substantial raise at your job next week, so you don't have to worry about those financial problems." Next week comes by, and the guy does get a job, get a raise, exactly as the person said. It might even be the exact dollar amount that the person allegedly predicted. Then the cessationist says, well, either that was some kind of a trick, the person had inside information about this person's job, or it was the power of the devil that revealed this to him or her. And then the charismatic will claim that refutation of the alleged word of knowledge is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, where do you stand on something like that, a scenario like that?
Sure, Chris. Well, my first thought is that the Bible itself tells us to test all things, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So I would be derelict in my Christian duties not to test some alleged prophetic word or word of knowledge or whatever. We must test these things. And so it is actually the enemy of the truth, the enemy of the gospel, the enemy of true Christianity who would say, don't test me. Don't question me. That's what a wolf does, not a sheep. So it's laughable on its face to make such a ridiculous assertion. The Bereans tested the Apostle Paul, right? Acts 17, verse 11, they searched the scriptures to see if these things were really so. So anytime you hear a Christian, a preacher say, don't question me, don't question my authority, don't question what I teach, that's not a red flag. That's a red banner. That's a red billboard saying run from that person. So, it is not. It's just a farcical charge to say something like that.
Now, let me ask a question that has often entered into my mind. Is it possible that just as God gave permission to Satan to harass and plague Job in all those ways that are recorded in Scripture, everything that happened negative to Job was from the hand of Satan, but done with permission from God. Satan asked God permission each and every step of the way. He knew he had to. On the reverse of that, is it possible that there are self-professed miracle workers, exorcists, and things like that, who are actually performing miracles or that God has permitted them to perform miracles, even though these men and women are charlatans or lost? Like, for instance, when we read that most terrifying series of verses in recorded scripture, most terrifying for anybody who claims to be a Christian, Matthew 7:21 verses 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, leave me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, Jesus never said in that that declaration that they did not prophesy, that they did not cast out demons, and that they did not perform many miracles. So the question is, were those miracles done by the power of Satan, or were they done by God as he is just permitting these charlatans and evildoers who claim to be Christians to perform these miracles?
Yeah, so those, and you're absolutely right, Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, I think truly is some of the most terrifying, some of the most terrifying verses in all of God's word. And I believe that those people there who cried out, Lord, Lord, I think they were genuinely surprised to find themselves in the position that they did. I don't think that was a feigned thing. I think they were really surprised. So they at least thought that they had the ability to prophesy and cast out demons and perform signs and wonders. I think Benny Hinn, at some level, thinks he's really doing the Lord's work. Paul makes an interesting statement in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. He says, evil men and imposters will grow from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. deceiving and being deceived. So both of those dynamics can be at work in the same person. False teachers actively deceive people. Benny Hinn does. And yet there is a sense in which they are themselves being deceived. And so you can find both of those at work in the same person. Now, more broadly speaking, yes, I do. Demons are real. Satan is real, and they do have power. They can manufacture fake signs and wonders. They're obviously not from God, but yes, they can do supernatural things, if you will. The Egyptian magicians, up to a point, could reproduce the same miracles that Moses and Aaron were doing there in the Egyptian court, up to a point, and pretty impressive even up to that point as well. So Satan does have some power. Demons do have power. Now, they only, as you rightly pointed out in Job 1, we know that they only have the power that God allows them to have. Satan is on a leash, and God is holding the other end of that short leash. I can't remember which one of the reformers said this, but he quipped that even the devil is God's devil. So, now in the Word of Faith NAR movement, the vast, vast, vast majority of the supposed miracles, signs, and wonders that are taking place are being alleged. They're fake. They're not even real on a demonic level. The vast majority of them are fake. Psychosomatic stuff, peer pressure, group dynamic stuff, mind over body, that's all it is. A very small percentage of some of the activity that you see in these Word Faith NAR circles are supernatural in that they do have a demonic origin. I believe a small percentage of them are demonic in origin. But none of it is of God.
Oh, so you're saying that a false teacher cannot perform a genuine miracle that God permits that person to perform at all? Like, for instance, if somebody claims to be a healer and the person is an unregenerate person, they may be a charlatan or just deceive themselves. And lay hands on somebody that has cancer, and it is verified that that person, after medical tests are done, the next day, the next week, whatever, they are cancer-free. Are you saying that that could never happen as far as a miracle of God by the hands of an unregenerate person? Because God does and has allowed people to be deceived for his own purposes. He has allowed them to receive a delusion. So could this be another way that he is doing that? But I'm just asking questions here. I'm not speaking affirmatively.
Sure. I would say that no false teacher would perform any kind of true miracle of God. That God would not use a false teacher to perform a true work of his. No, because gifts are only given to the sheep. Goats don't have spiritual gifts. So now I will say, we do know from scripture, it's very clear in the Gospels, that demons do, at least on occasion, have the power to inflict sickness. We see that in several places through the Gospels. So It would be logical to, kind of follow the logic here. If I were Satan and I wanted to do something to divert a person's attention away from the gospel and get them to focus on signs and wonders and that kind of thing, I think it would be a very logical thing for Satan or someone, one of his demons, to could inflict some kind of a disease, some kind of malady, and then simply withdraw from that person. And then by the simple withdrawal of this demonic activity, that person kind of naturally recovers. Hmm. And that is alleged to be, oh, look at this real miracle. I really am a man of God. See what I did? And that gets people to flock after, this particular false teacher. I absolutely believe that does happen. But that's not an active work of God, that is simply the removal of some demonic activity to divert people's attention away from the gospel. And so I think that does happen. Does that make sense?
Yes. And our listener in Monroe, New York, Michael, he originally sent us a fairly lengthy teaching lesson via email. And when he heard my loving and mild correction of that, because we want questions, he submitted a question. So thank you, Michael. And I hope you were not offended by what I had to say. But we try to keep our listeners' participation to questions. Just like when I have arranged debates and when we used to hand people a microphone, and even when I used to have a live call-in show rather than an email-in show, very often there would be people who would not ask questions, but they would give very lengthy teaching lessons and lectures, and that's not what we want from the listeners. I have guests for that. So, but anyway, Michael in Monroe, New York says, if what practicing charismatics do is not of the Holy Spirit, then what spirit is it? I'm thinking about those who claim they have the gift of tongues. Yeah, when I hear a charismatic claiming to speak in tongues and they are doing something that sounds like they may be speaking in tongues, I am reminded of the old C.S. Lewis adage about Jesus. You can't say he was a great prophet unless you believe he is truly God in the flesh. You can't say that he was a wonderful human being if he is not a God in the flesh because of what he claimed about himself. And summarized, Lewis said that Jesus was either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. I think the same thing about folks who are speaking in tongues. If it's not from God, which we cessationists don't believe it is today, it's either something that they have forced themselves to do out of repetition and trying to appease others around them. They mimic other people around them, or they're truly mentally ill, or they do have a demonic spirit that is making them do this. So what is your thought, or what are your thoughts on people who speak in tongues today that we would consider it to be gibberish?
Sure, Chris. Well, in short, the vast majority of what you see in charismatic movement speaking in tongues is simply the only spirit that it's from is the spirit of man. It's something that you learn how to do. Speaking in gibberish is just a learned behavior, and it's practiced in a number of other pagan religions as well. Hindus, some Muslims even speak in tongues. Buddhists speak in tongues, and they do it in the exact same way, the exact same way that charismatics do. So I don't think it's demonic. I just think it's a learned behavior. And I can't tell you how many former charismatics that have come up to me over the years and have told me that they used to be charismatic, they used to speak in tongues, but then they became convinced of the cessationist position, and they are now card-carrying cessationists like I am, but guess what they still have the ability to do? They can still speak in tongues. In fact, I would commend to people a YouTube channel named Digging Deeper by Andreas Wiget. That's how it's pronounced, but we spell it W-I-G-E-T, but Andreas Wiget. He's from Switzerland, and he's a former charismatic. Now he's a cessationist, but he's got a number of videos on his YouTube channel about tongues, and he demonstrates how he can still speak in tongues, even though he's a cessationist. So it's just a learned behavior. The genuine gift of tongues, Chris, was the ability not to speak in gibberish, but the ability to speak in a known human language, just not known to the one speaking it. It would be like me instantly being able to speak fluent Swahili. Mm-hmm. It's a known human language. It's just not known to me. And there was a purpose for the gift of tongues. It was a sign of judgment against unbelieving Israel. And that's a whole other issue, probably way off in the weeds for our purposes here. But what you see charismatics do today with speaking in tongues, this gibberish that they talk in, that bears zero resemblance to the genuine gift of languages, which what's really what we should call that gift. Instead of the gift of tongues, we should call it the gift of languages, because in the Greek, it's the word glossa. And the word glossa in biblical Greek and in extra biblical secular Greek, if you will, the word glossa only has two possible meanings. It can either mean the physical organ inside our mouths, or it can mean a known human language. That's the only two ways that glossa is ever used. So we should say the gift of languages rather than the gift of tongues. So it's kind of a long answer to the question, but I hope that cleared it up some.
Yes, thank you very much, Mike. Let's see. We have a listener, Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who asks, in your opinion, is it possible for a Christian to be deceived into believing in modalism and still be a genuine Christian who goes to heaven after death? I think that I've been asked that many times myself, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I put people who are modalists or oneness Pentecostals or anti-Trinitarians into two different groups. There is the average person who is deceived by a teacher about it and merely mimics those falsehoods. And there is the teacher himself who is on a crusade to refute the biblical doctrine of the Trinity and tear it down and to cast doubt on the authenticity of Christians who believe in the Trinity. I think that there are two different categories there, and that would also be with some other issues. In other words, I would be more certain that a person is lost if they are a studied teacher who is on a mission to refute the Trinity than somebody who is clumsy in their theology over it and may spew a modalist description of what the Trinity is. What are your thoughts on that?
I do agree with that, Chris, and I would just add a little bit to it. I would say, for the lay person, if you will, who is just not theologically astute, and they've heard modalism, and then so they kind of believe it on some level, but don't really understand what it is. I believe that that person could be a true Christian. I would say a very immature Christian, very young Christian, but like my hesitation here would come in this. I would say that once that young believer is shown the truth from Scripture and they see from Scripture where it's wrong, then I would fully expect this person, if he is a true Christian, then he would abandon modalism and embrace the truth. So that would be the only thing that I would add to it. I think a true Christian, very young Christian, could, just for various reasons, you know, being poorly taught or whatever, initially espouse that at some level. But if you're truly indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and once you see the truth from Scripture, then you're going to abandon the error and embrace the truth.
Just for the sake of those who've never heard that term modalism, am I correct in saying that this is a teaching of anti-Trinitarians, Unitarians, and I don't mean necessarily the left-wing Protestant denomination, apostate denomination, that only believes in one God without there being different persons in the Godhead. But this is typically a view that will say that that in contradiction to there being three distinct co-equal and co-eternal persons of the Godhead, that God manifests himself at different times and seasons as one or the other of those things that are identified as the three persons of the Godhead by Trinitarians. He has been God the Father, and now he is Jesus Christ. And some of those would even view the Holy Spirit in a way that we referred to earlier as just the power of Jesus. But am I correct in the way I'm describing modalism?
Yes, Chris, you are. And as the name implies, it's the belief that God changes modes. He changes manifestations, changes modes, hence modalism. And sometimes he's the Father. He has the Father hat on. Sometimes he has the Son hat on. Sometimes he has the Holy Spirit hat on. And so, to paraphrase John MacArthur here, you have a lot of problems with that from Scripture, not the least of which is that Jesus' baptism. And John MacArthur said, boy, Jesus, he's changing hats real fast there, because you hear the voice from heaven, the Father, you see the Son physically on earth, and the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. So, you have all three persons there at the same time. So, but yes, that is a fair representation of modal. And T.D. Jakes, by the way, is modalistic in his. And T.D. Jakes is someone who is not ignorant. He has studied this. He rejects Trinitarianism. And so we must consider T.D. Jakes as someone outside the camp, not a believer.
But he is doing it. He is rejecting the Trinity more in an ambiguous and in a stealth manner, is he not? He doesn't come right out and say, I do not believe in the Trinity. He says, I don't like to use language that's not in the Bible, so don't force language into my own lips. That's basically the way he tries to get around it, isn't it?
It is, Chris. And he's the quintessential wolf in sheep's clothing. But if you go to his website right now, go to the Potter's House website, Google it, find it, go to their doctrinal statement right now, you will see that this language, it says, we believe in one God in three manifestations, not persons. Manifestations. That's very intentional, very modalistic language there. So, yeah.
And we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot briefer or more brief. I can't remember which is grammatically correct. Then the other breaks, if you have a question that you have not yet submitted, please submit it as quickly as you can, because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is the email address. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Pastor Alan Dunn, Frank Sibilla, and all of those in leadership at Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey, for renewing their advertising contract with us and for helping us to remain on the air through their financial support. They have a new website that is not yet in their commercial. The website that you heard in the commercial you just heard is incorrect, so we have not yet created the new ad with the new website. The new website is gcbc-nj.org, a lot easier to remember. GCBC, which stands for Grace Covenant Baptist Church, gcbc-nj.org, gcbc-nj.org. Thank you so much, Grace Covenant Baptist Church, for remaining in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. Also, you've been hearing ads every day for Historical Bible Society, and you've been hearing those ads for quite a long time. Please don't ever forget that the founder of that fine organization is Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. So if you are involved in a very serious personal injury, accident case, or a medical malpractice case, no matter where you live in the United States, Dan Buttafuoco can help you. So call 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. We're now back with my guest, Justin Peters. And Justin, I would like you to address the final work of the Holy Spirit that he does that is often overlooked and dismissed, even in our own Reform circles?
Yes, Chris, one of the most important and sadly overlooked roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers is his work of sanctification. He grows us in holiness, Chris. He conforms us into the image of Christ. And those whom God saves, he also sanctifies without exception. And whether we're talking about Word of Faith or NAR or kind of the more easy believism forms of the gospel, pray this prayer, never examine yourself, or if you're talking about some in our own theologically reformed camps, you know, high sovereignty, high view of the sovereignty of God, there's a whole wing, sadly, Chris, of people in my own theological camp, more reformed, that have a very low view of sanctification. They espouse all the right things, claim a high view of Scripture, high view of the sovereignty of God, and yet they are far, far too chummy with the world. They seem to glory and flaunt at least what they perceive to be their Christian liberties. I've seen some of these pastors use profanity, even in the pulpit. They boast about their whatever alcohol they're drinking and stuff like that, and they're just too chummy, too cozy with the world and with sin, quite frankly. And one of the marks of a maturing Christian is that as we mature in Christ, we have an increasing sensitivity to sin, an increasing disdain of sin. There should be a decreasing pattern of sin in our lives, an increasing pattern of holiness. And that is one of his most important roles in our lives, as he grows us in Christ. He sanctifies us. So we should be growing in our sanctification, in our personal holiness. And we should have what Paul describes as a godly sorrow over sin in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's not that we as Christians don't sin. We do. But if you're truly a Christian and you sin, it should grieve you. Your sin should grieve you because we understand that our sin grieves God. And so I would commend that to people. That is one of the most precious works of God's Holy Spirit, is he grows us in personal holiness.
And we have time for one last question, which would require a brief answer. An anonymous listener says, how do you respond to charismatics and Pentecostals who will make claims that Baptists and other cessationists do not believe in the Holy Ghost, or that they are not spirit-filled? Yes, I have heard both in my journey of searching biblical truth before I became a Reformed Christian. I had visited many charismatic and Pentecostal churches, and sometimes in casual conversation, and even sometimes from a pulpit, I've heard them say, you know, those Baptists down the street, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And or they'll say they're not spirit filled. Now, obviously, I don't think that necessarily they're trying to imply that doctrinally we deny the existence of the third person of the Trinity. But it's still sloppy and dangerous language that is really slander, isn't it?
It is, Chris. Real quickly, no. It's ironic that those people would look at a cessationist and say, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You have a low view. To the contrary, as a cessationist, I cede no ground in my view of the Holy Spirit to those in the hyper-charismatic world. Because why is it that the most brazen heretics, the most prolific false prophets, the people who most exploit the poor and the sick and the widows for personal financial gain, these prosperity preachers, the people who put words in God's mouth that he did not say, why is it that all these people find a welcome home in the movement, the charismatic movement that claims to have a high view of Scripture, and yet it is that very movement that is the welcoming home to the most brazen charlatans, hucksters, false prophets, and heretics that have ever brought reproach upon the name of Christ. So it is not we who have a low view of the Holy Spirit. It is they who have a low view of the Holy Spirit of God.
Well, we're out of time. Don't forget about the two events where Justin Peters will be speaking. First of all, the Grace Life Church of Annville, Pennsylvania, is featuring Justin on the 28th through the 30th of April. And go to justinpeters.org and click on events. And then don't forget about the Sovereignty of God Conference, the G3 Conference, September 21st through the 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia. Go to g3men.org, g3men.org. Use promo code G3ISIR for a 30% discount. And I thank you so much, Justin, for being such an extraordinary guest as you always are. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.